KBOO is currently running a Kickstarter campaign to build a city of media makers. From February 8th to March 9th, you can become a media maker and help spread the word. Just go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter between now and March 9th to join.
The 35th Anniversary Open House, Tuesday, February 13th, 5 to 8 p.m., here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland. More information can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. The time now is 8 o'clock, and coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Help us help you keep Portland weird. Join Contessa de la Luna of the World Famous Confessional for the 6th annual Contessa de la Luna Valentine Spectacular and Fashion Show. We're giving away a $100 cash prize plus live performances by Contessa de la Luna. Get your weird on and bring a date. Advance tickets available at Brown Paper Tickets. All proceeds benefit your community radio station, KBOO. That's Thursday, February 15th, 7 to 9:45 p.m. Feel the love of your other Contessa de la Lunatics. Contessa de la Luna's Valentine Spectacular, Thursday, February 15th at the Clinton Street Theater, 7 p.m.
For decades, KBOO News and Public Affairs has welcomed radical and spirited activists in the Northwest and beyond. KBOO is central to connecting the world to what is happening in Portland and the Northwest. We put the mic in everyone's hands. Help amplify the stories of people in your own backyard, invest in future media makers, and join us on Kickstarter today. Look us up. Search for Help KBOO Build a City of Media Makers, and thank you for your support of KBOO.
Morning. Hey, it's really a cold day for a change.
Well, it's what we call cold.
Well, that is what we call cold. This is what we call cold.
It's not that cold.
Okay. Right. Hey, this is KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, and it's not that cold. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. The number to call to be on the air, 231-8187. What are we going to do?
I don't know. What are we doing?
I think we should talk about the end of the two-party system, which has been gone a long time, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should talk about the fake Trump infrastructure developments.
Uh-huh.
And I think we should talk about Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And I think we should just bemoan the fact that everything is just the way it is, only more so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah,
for sharing your morning with us.
You can go away now, everybody. And I also think, quite seriously, that the crisis in American politics and in cultural life is so enormous. The other day, as I was riding on the Max, I do that prime time. I noticed that about half the people on the train, maybe more, were texting.
Uh huh. And did you notice this in a nice way or in a creepy way?
Well, it reminded me that nobody's here now anymore.
Nobody's here now anymore?
As in be here now?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading my iPad here. I didn't hear
Yeah, watch
what
that.
Saying.
Yeah, right.
Now, see, that to me sounds like an extremely judgmental, dare I even say generational observation.
Could be a generational observation. You're always criticizing me for being older than you.
No, not criticizing.
Which I can't help. I mean,
And if that's how you interpreted my criticism, clearly I'm not expressing myself distinctly.
Okay.
Enough. I don't criticize you for being older than me. I criticize you sometimes for failing to switch out your lens,
what does that mean, switch out your lens? What are we talking here?
Well, I'm saying that sometimes, I'm just going to stop right here. Continue, please.
I don't know if you're capitulating or just avoiding.
It's not worth it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I think it's really important to realize that people are not in the present time as they live their lives. They're talking to somebody else somewhere else, or they're watching or listening to something else that is not there, and it is very possible. The thing about radio when it started was that people would get involved and they weren't paying attention. It was kind of a problem, but very soon people developed a skill of doing two things at once. Now we have this bizarre non-presence in the entire environment. And when I say environment, I mean everything from what we call classical environmentalism to what we call riding on a choo-choo.
And what's the difference between somebody looking at their phone on the train and somebody reading a newspaper on the train?
Not much.
Okay.
Okay.
So wherein lies, where's the rub here?
Well, the rub...
Why is this so toxic, what you've been...
Well, the rub is that people are doing this, mostly, by the way, younger people, all the time. You don't read a newspaper as you walk down the street.
No.
You don't read a newspaper as you drive in your automobile.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're learning skills, I guess they're skills, of being many places at once, but the main place you're not is there.
Really? So that... No, I just don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
There's no there there, Joe.
There is a there
there.
Yeah,
this is simply a change of mode. People have always sought a remove from what's going on, whether they're reading the newspaper, whether they're listening to music, or whatever. It always happens. The only difference here is a modal shift. Now you've got this thing in your hand that connects you to everybody in the world simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
And it allows you to carry on the sum total of human knowledge in your pocket. This is an
Well, first of all, it's not the sum total of human knowledge. But anyway, go on.
Oh, well, it works rhetorically, don't you think?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, so you're saying this betrays some sort of some grand disconnect, some sort of insulation from actually living life?
Yeah.
And I disagree with that.
Well,
because you're still living your life. You're still on the train. You're still going someplace. You're still walking down the street. You're still going to school. You're still going to work. You're still raising a family.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I just still see the crisis here.
I think, I don't know if it's a crisis, but I think that people are not here now. They really aren't. Using a newspaper, reading a book, all those things involve an awareness of one's environment.
Mm-hmm.
This, peculiarly, takes you out of the real world as you move in the real world. It's peculiar. It's unique. It's a shift in the paradigm of knowledge and awareness that has enormous potential.
Do you own a smartphone?
I do not. I have used one, yes.
Have you ever ridden on the train and read from it?
No, I haven't.
No. So are you passing this diagnosis without ever having done this thing that you're claiming removes people from the here and now?
Yeah. Maybe it's just that I get distressed at watching half the people on the choo-choo saying to each other on the phone, or if they're mm-hmm. talking on it, I'm just crossing the steel bridge now.
That bothers you?
It bothers me.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I think it's dangerous. I think it is potentially extremely dangerous. Oh, look, there's a looks like a fallout cloud.
Right. There you have it. Cell phones will usher in the nuclear apocalypse. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO.
Yeah, cell phones will not.
Okay.
Nothing will there'll be no warning.
All right. Well, I agree with you that we have arrived at a dark point in our civilization's development.
Okay.
But I think that cell phones really very little to do with it. But okay.
Okay. So in other words, I think there's a technological inevitability to these changes that is in and of itself a powerful agent of change.
Yes.
And you're saying, well, not really. It's just a modality change.
No, it is a powerful instrument of change, but it's merely the latest iteration in something that started really with the Gutenberg printing press, if we want to go back that far.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to even argue with that.
Okay. Fair enough.
What the hell? I just wanted to make a point.
This is KABU. You can't just make a point.
I can't.
And just leave it out there.
I can make a point. I can do whatever I want because this is KABU. Okay. I have so much awful stuff here. I don't even know.
Bring on your awful stuff, Jim.
Yeah, boy, bring on the awful stuff. The Trump weird world, which we're seeing now in the Olympics in very cold South Korea. I saw the the beautiful women cheerleaders from North Korea. Did you see them?
I did. Can we put a pin in this for just a second? I just got a note saying we got somebody on the phone who wants to participate in a conversation we were just having.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's do that. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm an intrepid visitor to your line, but I think here's what I've noticed, and I'm 72, is I notice that people don't, or often don't, or sometimes don't, interact with their children in ways that I would consider healthy because of the cell phone. And I have heard children saying to their mother, I'll give you an example, Mom, Mom, over and over and over, sort of sub voce, as if they knew the mother was not going to pay any attention, and yet they kept reaching out. And that scared me. And I thought, oh boy, we've got some problems coming. And the fact that people dive into those devices in order to avoid dealing with serious problems emotionally and issues in the environment. I mean, you made a joke about a nuclear bomb going off. No, but what if you're on the train and Jeremy Christian is there? You know, how do you be here now? I have to say, I do agree with Joe on this one. It is about being present, and I also use my phone. But if it's at the expense of the development of your children's skills to interact, if it's at the expense of your not being present to dangers in the environment or to other opportunities in the environment, then it's a loss for us. And that's all I have to say. So thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
No,
have a great day.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good to hear the wisdom of somebody else.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It really is.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. If you want to write to us, you can do that at facebook.com/Abe and Joe. We've got Michael next. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm on too much and everyone else complains, right?
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
You can't win, Michael.
Okay, so first of all, a small thing and then a bigger thing. So the small thing is, what I often see is a parent with a child. And the child wants the parent's attention, and the parent's busy texting or God knows what in their cell phone. And it's just sad and tragic because these little kids are cute, and something so much better than whatever you could do on a phone could be happening between the parent and the child. But instead, the parent's lost in the phone, and the child doesn't get the benefit of interacting with the parent. And that's different from things like a newspaper, I think.
That's the first
little thing.
Okay.
The bigger thing is, I remember back a long time ago, I went on a beer run with a friend. I was in a band at the time, and I went on a beer run with a friend to a bar, and the bar had a TV playing in it. And everybody was sitting in that bar like a zombie watching the TV. And the reason was, I realized as I looked at that in the bar, no one's conversation that they could get started with each other was going to be more interesting than what was on the TV. On the other hand, if those conversations had gotten started, they were quickly going to get more interesting than whatever you could have on a TV, or at least the possibility was there. But because the TV was there, it was like jamming the channel, and nothing was going to get started, and nothing was going to get better than what there was on the TV. And I think the same thing goes on now with cell phones. People aren't paying full attention to their conversations a lot of the time, and the conversations never take off, and all you get is a world where the best thing that's going on is text messages. And the final thing I want to say is that you may not realize this, but I've read up on some of this stuff. All of these apps and things on your cell phone are designed to be addictive. They're designed to cause the release of dopamine in your
brain. I'm glad you brought that up, because it really is important.
This is a science that was originally developed by places like Las Vegas, where they did the same kind of tricks to keep you glued to the slot machine. There are little delays in the app that are not there because the software has so much to do that it takes a while for it to happen. Those delays are there because they figured out that just that amount of delay builds up anticipation in you so that when whatever it is finally happens, the dopamine gets released. So these things are little addiction machines that are designed to glue your eyeballs to whatever advertisers are paying. And we're voluntarily paying to have these addiction machines addict us so that our eyes will see the ads that the advertisers want us to see. Mm. And I just thought of one other thing. You know, in 1984, the book, there were these things called telescreens that were like screens that watched you everywhere you went, right? What George Orwell didn't anticipate was that we would voluntarily buy and install the telescreens ourselves.
Well, right. I remember the day that I put a piece of tape over, opaque tape over my little camera thingy on my computer. And I felt like, well, at least I have some privacy. But previously, what I was doing could have been streamed to any source, and I wouldn't even know it.
What were you doing?
Yeah, and you know,
that is not for public consumption. Go ahead.
Yes, the cyber world felt a tragic loss the day you put that tape on.
Really?
Thankfully, we archived a bunch of that stuff.
So anyways, and then one last thing, and that the world we're addicted to is being, so, you know, the information, we have all the information in the world, but now that information is being shaped by Google and Facebook, and those companies right now have like a monopoly over the information flow in this world, and they really need to be broken up. I mean, there is no way that companies like that should have that much of a sway.
All right, now I think you're touching on a real problem. And that wasn't part of our litany of problems today, but I'm glad you brought it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, those are my thoughts, and I, despite what you just said, Abe, I think that the litany of problems I said were all serious, not just the last one.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Okay. Actually, it was kind of useful.
Yeah, thanks very much. There you have it.
Sure.
Yeah, I say it's useful because it supports my position.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Yes.
You're an opportunist like that.
I'm an opportunist like what?
Like that.
Like that. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
So there you have it. Cell phones are addictive. So throw them away and, you know, get started on an addiction that your parents and grandparents would embrace. Not these modern addictions.
Oh, I see. I see. We have a inherent bias against the idea that the future might be dark.
No, what I have a problem with is what seems to be a cyclical sort of freak out about the latest breakthroughs in technology and communication. All these things seem to sort of herald the end of civilization as we know it, and a withdrawal of people from the real world, and a dangerous realignment of how humans interact with each other. But this has been said about every communication breakthrough that's happened for hundreds of years.
I agree with that. Okay. I mean, that's true. And it's probably true. That is, it's not just a perception. The fact of the matter is that, for example, the publication of a Bible in a movable type, had a profound and deep effect on the world, which included horrible religious wars.
Well, that's very true, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, these things have real-world effect. Whether these effects are progressive or regressive or something else entirely is perhaps a historical judgment and merely that, and that's your point, I guess.
Yeah, but you can argue that the Gutenberg printing press touched off a series of horrible religious wars, yes. But it also broke the monopoly on scholarship and literacy held by the aristocracy and the church at the time.
Well, actually, the church.
It also helped.
The aristocracy
there would have been no scientific revolution, no enlightenment without the printing press.
That's true.
So,
we agree.
Yeah, we do. And I think that the development of the internet is a represents a phase change at the same level. that development of the printing
I'm
press.
Not sure. And I throw this up as a straw man or straw woman. I just am very suspicious of a culture that is involved in somewhere other than here now constantly. I mean, I've sat at a dinner table with people, not just in my home, but elsewhere, and had half the people at the table texting or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's obnoxious. And people shouldn't do that.
Okay.
But that's not some intrinsic fault of the phone.
Well, no,
it is.
That's
just people being obnoxious.
No. See, I disagree. I think the compelling qualities of instant communication are so powerful that they overwhelm the ordinary and complex necessities of social interaction.
And that's why we need to stop making excuses and enact phone control legislation right now.
No.
All right.
Absolutely not. That's not my point at all.
Speaking of corrosive and dangerous electronic media.
Yes.
KBOO is embarked on its first ever Kickstarter fundraising
Kickstarter.
Campaign.
What's Kickstarter?
Kickstarter. What is Kickstarter?
What is Kickstarter?
Kickstarter is a means of
begging for money.
Begging for money. It's an online fundraising platform that allows an organization like KBOO to aggregate money through a bunch of very small contributions.
Which are, the whole thing, Kickstarter, is a owned by somebody thing.
Hey, yeah, it's owned by somebody thing.
And they take a percentage of the money.
I would presume that that's how it works, yes.
Yes.
So KBOO's Kickstarter campaign is going right now. You can find links to it on KBOO's webpage. You can find it on KBOO's Facebook page. Or you can go to Kickstarter.com, search for KBOO, and you'll find it. This is
a good thing. It's a good thing.
This is helping, frankly, to this station to get the resources it needs to take things to the next level, to use a hack.
What is
phrase.
The next level?
Help KBOO build a city of media makers is the theme of this Kickstarter campaign.
I don't understand that.
Well, you'll have to just go there and learn more.
I guess I will. I think I think that it's very hard in this age to be a source of what was once a very popular, maybe even at one time the only source of mass communication, that has now turned into a highly competitive market thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that KBOO, if it suffers from anything at all, is a lack of a visual presentation of self. I see no posters. I see no guy standing in the middle of the street naked with a sign saying, watch KBOO or listen to KBOO and don't watch me or whatever.
Now's your moment, Joe.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I do think that any method that does not deprive others of their income, but offers people opportunities to volunteer in supporting an institution important as KBOO can be and often is a good thing. So I'm not gonna diss the Kickstarter campaign.
Good.
Yes.
All right.
It really matters what I think.
Let's go to the phones. Marion is next. Good morning.
Hi. Yes. Well, interesting conversation. I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but I want to relate an interesting anecdote.
Okay. Go for that.
Children electronic. So this happened 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah, I was sitting in the train station, Union Station, which I hang out at often because I like trains, and it was fairly full, and there was a young woman there who was sitting there on her laptop, totally focused on it. She had two young children who were running around and acting out, and did you see her? You know, we were all of us who were waiting there fed up with these kids. And I was sitting right next to this young woman. I turned to her and I said, if you would pay some more attention to your children, get off your goddamn electronic gadget, they wouldn't be acting out like that. And, you know, she got so angry at me that she put away her computer and she started. She turned to her kids for comfort. She took them.
So you were effective in your intervention.
Yes, right. And she ranted on about this terrible older woman who was harassing her and, you know, talking to her kids about this. So yes, and she didn't realize actually that she had done what I had asked her to do.
Well, I just think that's funny.
It was great.
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you.
I appreciate that. I think it's an interesting insight. It is true.
Thanks for the call.
It is true that if you intervene in these exchanges with the machine, you can have a positive impact. Not that you'll be liked for it, but it's a positive impact.
Excuse me, Beverly is next. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
I was in France and Germany in the summer. And I noticed I'd be on the subways and things. I did not see cell phones. And people were talking to their children, and it really struck me because I'm not used to that. I travel probably on the max 2 times a week, and I walk a lot. And I so much see people not talking at all to their children. And I guess it just struck me that, you know, I'm struck by that, and I'm also struck by how much we are just so dependent on the cell phone. Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, yeah, no, you see, what the calls are saying is what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that there is a technology out there that has good or bad qualities, which is what we were arguing mm-hmm. about earlier, but rather that, in fact, in our culture, it offers a neat escape from being here now.
All right, so just to play along.
Just to play along, okay.
I'm not sure I entirely buy what you're saying. But just to play along for a moment, if that's true, right, and if these things are widespread means of departure from the here and now.
Did you say memes of departure?
Means. Oh. They're also memes
okay.
of departure. Means and memes.
Okay.
That sort of begs the question, well, what is so torturous about the here and now that people feel such a need to escape it?
Well, now there you're going into what we frequently do on the air. The fact of the matter is here and now is not so good right now.
I would agree. Yeah.
So escape becomes very desirable. If, in fact, everything were cool, probably the use of cell phones would be more appropriate.
Yeah, perhaps.
The fact of the matter is that anybody who pays any attention to anything now is seeing the deterioration of democracy, which in and of itself was not really democratic because it was always a class-based system. But now that class-based disguise is being ripped away, and the most poor of Americans frequently are in a mystified situation where they're blaming liberals for bringing out the fact of how it is. And this is very, very serious. It's a really, really trashy blaming thing. And I'm very concerned about it, even as we have an insane, egotistical madman as president of the United States who once said famously, what good are nuclear weapons unless we can use them? And now we're finding that the military is building small tactical nuclear weapons. It's all very, very real, and it's all very, very scary. And without the citizen participation that's necessary in a democracy, outside of the vote and in the world of voting, we're going to be in a situation that is not going to be fixable.
Hmm.
That's my fear.
To touch on one of the caller's points, I was in Europe last fall, and I saw cell phones everywhere.
Well, I did. I saw cell phones in Europe, in fact, years before we had them. They became, because everybody, landlines were hard to get. Hmm. So everybody was using cell phones.
Let's go to the phones again. Susan, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
I wanted to say that I, too, am 72 years old, and I did travel in Europe, and I saw cell phones, and tried to carry one myself. Had a little trouble with that, but I didn't see them, people walking and viewing them like you do in the States. And I wanted to say something about traveling on public transportation. With a question to Joe, is that to be answered a little later after we get off?
okay.
What did you do, Joe, to be present with the other people?
Ah.
Because a lot of times it's your job, you know, my job, to not engage in eye contact or conversation unless somebody else does, or you can do it and, you know, like for an open conversation with a group that you're sitting near. I mean, those things happen on public transportation. And I think it happens when people have come from an event. And it's, you know, it's a joyous moment. I've seen that a lot on MAX. On buses, it's even day to day. Like I say, 72, I'll sit up front if there isn't a disability person sitting there, or mother, family with strollers and multiple children, and people engage and talk and help out. I think you just weren't either you don't travel that much, or the routes that I travel have a lot of people, you know, that kind of thing. So, but you haven't talked about your engagement with the public as you're traveling. Because when I learned something from being in Europe, traveling, walking from one place to another place, I mean, long distance, you say hello to everybody, and they'll respond. And what I learned is when I do that here, when I'm walking, you know, for several miles, you know, just, you know, out walking my dog, I do not have any expectation of hearing back from them. And so what that means to me, trying to engage, is that there's no expectations, but you still feel good that you're reaching out.
I think you're right. So, no, am I interrupting you?
I'm done.
Okay. I think you're raising some interesting points. It's certainly the case that I personally am a private person, and I grew up a lot of my life in places like New York or L.A., and San Diego, places like that, and Portland. And one of the things that I remember from New York was that everybody had a New York Times or similar newspaper, which they folded in a certain way so as to not get anyone in anyone's way, and sat there reading or stood there reading that newspaper. So it was the same thing, really, as the cell phone produces. I think that we, as a culture, and possibly all humankind do this, are always trying to find an escape from whatever it is that is tedious or awkward or ugly or frightening. And then, therefore, anything that makes any technology, whether it's print media or a cell phone, is a temptation which we will immediately seize. Now, I'm not saying that that is not an inherent problem of the consciousness of people. What I am saying is that because the World Wide Web opens up a virtual, and I'm important word, virtual, a virtual infinity of information, most of it dubious, but opens it up, it is a way for anyone to escape the situation. And the situation in our culture at this time, to use a phrase from somebody else, is we're amusing ourselves to death. And in that process, we do not have a discourse about any important issues from a day-to-day perspective. That's what my concern is.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. You're listening to the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on 90.7 FM KBOO. Coming up this morning at 9, alternative radio journalist and author David K. Johnston speaks on Trump and the age of mendacity.
Man, he's so good.
He's been a guest on this program.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, D-May welcomes back literary lesbians to talk about their readings of rapturous romance with lesbian authors in the Northwest. A lot of alliteration there.
I was going to say, I guess lesbian alliteration is a logically inevitable outcome.
Stop.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop.
Okay. At 11:30, Art Focus features interviews with artists, curators, and critics. And as we mentioned earlier, KBOO's Kickstarter is live. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and help KBOO build a city of media makers. That's kboo.fm/Kickstarter.
City of media makers?
Yeah, I think they're trying to empower a generation of citizen journalists.
So you see it and then you say it. Kinda.
Yeah, that's not to put too fine a point on it, but yes. Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also write to us at the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, or you can tweet at HonestAbe72. Jack writes into the Facebook page to say, addiction to social media is no different than TV. Back in the day, I can remember visiting a relative for the first time in 10 years and couldn't converse over a TV. Nobody showed the courtesy to mute. It's not the medium, it's the message. Philistine Nation, in all capital letters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am very tempted to skip all the horrors. There is a really great horror happening in the South China Sea right now.
Is there?
A huge ship full of condensate, which is a very fine petroleum product, has sunk and is poisoning one of the major fisheries of the world, which will have a long-term impact on the protein availability for people everywhere. This is real. This is more serious than the Gulf disaster, more serious than the Alaskan disaster, and is going to be very, it's impossible to deal with it. It cannot be detected easily. It can only kill the fish. And this is a thing that is a consequence of our addiction as a people to petroleum, really.
Indeed, it is.
And it's an inevitable outcome. You know, you run these ships with all this stuff, and eventually, sooner or later, one of them's going to go boom.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that's a thing that I really think is very important. And I also think that these Olympics, if you've been following them at all.
I have. I love the Olympics.
You love the Olympics.
I do.
You love them because it's athleticism at its finest?
That's one of the reasons, yeah.
Okay.
It's also one of the few times that I feel unabashedly patriotic. You can attempt to do this, but you can push aside all the politics and all the capitalism and all of that and just cheer for our people who are out there trying to win.
Well, there's Pence and his wife in his isolation.
Yeah, but that's all stupid.
That's all stupid.
Yeah, and you can ignore that and just enjoy the Olympics.
Well, why can't you just watch football games and forget about the head injuries and enjoy that?
Well, I think that's a different question.
Okay.
You know, there's just our people out there trying to win. And it's some of these sports you see enormous athleticism coupled with unbelievable grace, and it's a beauty to watch.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not arguing about that. I also think that the North Korean cheerleader ladies were really cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like the fact that North and South Korea are talking. Whether that leads to anything, I don't know. But are talking in the process.
We love and respect.
I'm sorry, we had to let you go. Who's next? Harry, good morning.
Ah, good morning. Hello, my name is Harry, and I'm an appaholic. I have 175 apps on my iDevice.
Okay.
And I have them in folders, and gets me around pretty well. I'm blind, so the Oregon Commission for the Blind taught me how to use it. They iDevices, iPhones. I have an iPod Touch. I got both of them. It's called VoiceOver, and it allows me to communicate and things like that. So it's been very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. And the next thing is the I listened on a radio show. They were trying to tell people with the new Amazon Echo and Google Home teach the kids how to speak to it. Saying please and thank you. So, people think it's just a machine, and I know a lot of people who scream at their Amazon and curse at it, and same thing with Siri. And it's like, you know, it's kind of pretty bad, especially one friend that just screams at it. And it's like, it's a person. No, it's not a person, it's a machine. So... But you know how they will scream at you if they're, you know.
Well, no, I guess the machine, in that sense, the machine is a good substitute for a negative interaction. I guess. I don't know.
Well, and it sounds like the technology embedded in your cell phone is really helping you to live your life every day.
Yes, it does. It's very helpful. It really is. And one last thing. KBOO is 50 years old. It was established in 1968. I was hoping you guys would do a program on 1968, all the things that happened, the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Yep, Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah, and Bobby Kennedy. Yep. Don't forget the Tet Offensive.
That's right.
And the election of Nixon.
Yeah, that was quite a year, wasn't it?
Yes. So, I mean, and there's all things that happened during that time that hopefully you'll do a show on it.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I remember 68, and I remember the FBI in the 50s and the 60s, and even into the 70s, being the enemy of democracy. Now, weirdly, the FBI and the CIA seem to be in the position of being... the supporters of democracy. That's strange.
That's true. That's true. One last thing. Uh-huh. What year were you born, Joe?
40.
40? So World War II hadn't even started?
Well, it had.
Well, it had, but not for the United States.
Oh, okay. How about you, Abe?
I was born in 19...
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
1972, sir.
Okay.
A mere child.
That's right. A mere child, yes, definitely. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
sure.
you for the call.
All right.
We've been outed now. Everybody knows exactly
well,
how old we are.
Well, this is interesting. This is more like a friendly talk radio of the commercial sort.
Oh, my God.
That we're doing today. I don't know how this happened, but we're there.
Okay. I would like to take just a quick stab at summing up why I think this is a dark time and why we need to be really worried right now.
Oh, you want to go back to the stuff, huh?
I do. I want to go back to the stuff. I think what we're seeing now is the ugly outgrowth of a trend, which in modern times I think we can date back to the Barry Goldwater campaign for president.
Okay.
In 1964. Which was not coincidentally the same year that the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts were passed. The time at which the remaining conservative holdouts in the Democratic Party, the Dixiecrats, remember them?
Yeah, they flipped.
They flipped and went Republican, and the South was gone. Lyndon Johnson famously said, we've now lost the South for a generation. Turned out we lost the Democrats lost the South for a lot longer than a generation.
Well, I think it's gone forever.
It's gone forever. That was the beginning of this, and the birth of a sort of new, and by new I mean modern, but not new in terms of the roots of these ideas, but a new sort of revanchist, unrepentant, unreconstructed, racist, nationalist, toxic masculine politics that has festered in the United States since then.
Well, I've been calling it fascism, but go ahead.
Well, fascism. Yeah, we continue to quibble over that. But
ruling class power.
Well, let's leave it out there for a while.
All right.
And over the years, the Republican power structure has fed this beast in various ways. Most of the intervening time, they couldn't really do so publicly. So they managed to find ways to communicate to this beast in coded ways. When Nixon talked about law and order, everybody knew what he was talking about.
Right.
When Reagan talked about welfare queens, everybody knew what he was talking about. In more modern times, when he talks about illegal immigration, everybody knows what they're talking about. With the election of Barack Obama, this beast realized, I think, that its time had come, that the symbolism of a black man in the White House represented something so fundamentally alien to them, so alien to their conception of America and Americanness, that they came out from the shadows. And we saw the birth of the Tea Party. We saw people bringing guns political rallies.
Yeah, but remember the Tea Party was created by the moneyed class.
Yes and no. The Tea Party was encouraged by the moneyed class. But, I mean, if you want to go large, yes. Yes.
I always go large.
Yeah, I know you do.
I don't go high. I don't go low. I go large.
Yeah, the conservative ruling elite for a long time has known that this racist, nationalist, violent base exists and has welcomed its support.
Okay.
Okay. So the rich Barack Obama brought these people out into the sun. It suddenly became fashionable to be a public racist once again because, my God, the whole place is going to hell. Look at that black guy in the White House. And the byproduct of all this is that there is no longer any room for any sort of reasoned discourse between people who identify as progressive or liberal and people who identify as Republican or conservative. It's not there anymore.
Well, in fact, the definition of conservative, what is conservatism in American politics, is no longer what is conservatism. I mean, it used to be, at a reasonable level, a concern for example, fiscal responsibility, quote unquote. And that's gone. I mean, we've got a crazy president who's giving all of the balance of monies to a tiny, tiny percentage of the wealthy. And on top of that, we have lies. We're going to have infrastructure, wonderful infrastructure, which is all going to be built privately and is all going to exclude anyone who can't afford to pay special fees.
Are you going to let me finish my thing?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Appreciate that.
Yes, please.
Okay. So the rise of the Tea Party in opposition to Barack Obama, we saw these people for what they really are and what they have been for a long time. And with the rise of the Tea Party, away went any pretense of speaking in code. Now you see mainstream Republican politicians speaking in openly racist and militant language to their supporters. And because of the structural flaws of American democracy that have been baked in since the very beginning, we saw this large and vocal and, very, let's face it, very dedicated minority successfully elect, with the collusion of a foreign power, Donald Trump to the White House. So these are very dark times indeed. We are seeing the very worst of America, the very worst of American culture, the very worst of American politics running the show right now. So things look very bleak. But the ray of hope that I have to offer is this, that what we're seeing right now, this is a going out of business sale for these people. This is the last stand. They're staring at demographic inevitability that says, old white dudes, you are no longer going to be on top. And that day is within sight. So what we're seeing now is a retrenchment, a digging in, an attempt at all costs to hold on to power and privilege that is inevitably slipping away.
I agree with that.
You agree with that?
I do, except I really don't know about, I mean, we have a new class of billionaires, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they are younger, and they are virtually all male. Not all male, but virtually all male. We see a system that essentially favors those who have a certain kind of education, not the education of the old aristocracy, which was an education in the arts and sciences, but rather in the specific technologies that serve the interests of money. And I think that's a little bit of a change factor. Mm-hmm. I also see that essentially the things that characterize, for example, the Democratic Party pretty much marginally, and mostly in the era of Roosevelt and Truman, those things are going away. We have lost the power of the working class as a union organizing agent.
Yes.
We have lost the power of communities to run their own affairs. I have, over the years, gone to events put on by various city or, the people who basically are trying to build the city up. And you go to these things where you all sit at tables in little groups and you come up with a couple ideas and then you walk up to a whiteboard and you stick a thing on a thing and then and nothing happens. It's just a ritualized behavior to make you feel like you're a participant in a system. And I think that's becoming more and more common. I think, in other words, the ritual, the thing called democracy becomes ritualized and absolutely meaningless in this environment.
Agreed.
So yeah. I think that people need to get back to some really fundamental questions like where is money? Who has that money? How will it be spent? What is going to happen? What benefits will be derived therefrom for the majority of people? I mean, the fundamentals still apply, as the song goes. We still don't have a national health insurance plan worth a damn. We still don't have the bridges, the trains, and so on that we desperately need infrastructure-wise. We still don't have world peace, as it were. We are still engaged in a imperialist effort throughout the world.
Yes.
And all of this is now harder and harder to stop, particularly when the so-called left party, the Democrats, so-called, they don't even want to be thought of that way, is absolutely paralyzed. So I think things are dark.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right.
Yeah. I think where we might differ is that I think we can pull ourselves out of this. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by sharing information over the internet.
Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. Who's next? Pear, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I got worse news for you.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right.
You know, all these electronic devices, they depend on rare minerals that are mined by slave labor in the Congo. And they use up an awful lot of electricity in the aggregate,
uh-huh.
which is in kind of a short supply. So there may come a time when all these little devices stop working. And what happens to all the addicts then?
Oh, you mean the crazed addicts denied their fix?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I don't know the answer to that
one. Maybe they won't notice. Maybe they won't notice, you know.
Well, it's very possible that people will just talk to their machines without the machines responding.
Or they're going to be down under the Burnside Bridge buying an antique flip phone from a shady dude.
Well, you're raising an interesting point. I think it's really important to understand that the origins of these toys really rest in the exploitation of peoples throughout the world. And I think that's your main point.
Well, that's part of it. I think the main point is that energy is not in unlimited supply. And, you know, the economy basically runs on energy, not money. Money is just a symbol. And energy is what keeps everything going. It's what,
yeah, that's true.
And when the energy is in short supply, people have to start prioritizing, you know. Am I going to watch TV or am I going to heat my house, you know? Am I going to go to war or are we going to have some kind of health care? And that's when things maybe get even worse.
Well, see, we can go to war and get more energy that way.
No, you can't, because you know that's a supply of energy. You also have to consider the disposal, the waste disposal. You know, and that book, which is much maligned, back in '72, about it was where they did a world. They kind of did a computer model of the world economy, limits to growth.
Oh yeah,
and part of the problem is the sinks. Where do you dispose of all the waste? By the way, the U.S. Contributes 25% of the world's garbage, but that also limits what you can do when you can't get rid of the stuff. You see, so there's two limits to growth. There is the waste problem and the supply problem.
Yeah, you're right.
And what happens to all the little social divisions? And then you know they'll have something much more basic to fight about.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, thank you, Pear, for throwing another
brightening
cloud over
your day.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
well,
it.
Well, I wanted to brighten your day a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call. And it is bright out there. Go out and enjoy the sunshine today, everybody. Please do it. And put away your cell phones for a little while. You know, do it. Who's next? Anna, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Yeah. The only reason we're having problems is because people don't know how to talk to each other.
Go on.
And they're afraid to talk to each other for the most part. And I've been doing a little experiment, going around to the different 7-Elevens and plaid pantries and trying to strike up a conversation with the people behind the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
And one fine night last week, I talked to a really nice guy who said, I said, you know, I don't understand why people aren't talking to each other. If we don't talk to each other, they're going to run a steamroller over us, and that's how the end is going to happen. And he said, well, one of the reasons people don't talk to each other is because every time someone tries to talk to another person and it's against what that person might believe, the person feels it's a confrontation rather than a discussion. So who wants to get in a fist fight or a screaming argument over a simple discussion? That's one of the reasons people don't talk to each other.
Well,
do you think about that?
Well, I think that you're right up into a point. But I would ask you, when you're talking about current events or you're talking about politics or what have you, there exists a high probability that you might bump up against an opposing point of view with whomever you're having the conversation with. So maybe the question is, not how do we avoid confrontation, but how do we confront one another in a civil and productive way?
Well, one would tend to think that comes from being educated, but I really think it's probably deeper within a person, whether a person is able to have that kind of conversation. Education is ambiguous because I don't have any big college degrees, but yet I have tried real hard throughout my life, and I'm over 60, to have conversations with almost every kind of human being. And it's I have a lot to say about it that we can't say on the show here because there's just too much to say. But the thing is that people do tend to escape through their cell phones. And there's a good reason for it, but at the same time, perhaps they never got a chance to learn how to communicate because they had not a good mother and not a good father.
Well, wow, that might, you're right. This might be a transgenerational problem that we're dealing with. Well, listen, I hope you continue to strike up conversations with people. I think that's a good way to put a little positivity into the world. And thank you for the call.
All right.
Yeah, I never talk to strangers. You know, it's just not my world. I'm a shy person, basically. Nobody believes that, but it's true. All right, 2318187. I guess I want to a little bit switch themes here and get a little bit serious about some stuff. I'm very concerned about the fact that our infrastructure is lagging and that the Trump administration is going to create a vast amount of money to privatize all of the infrastructure that they possibly can, and that most people will not be aware of that and will not care. I have driven in Southern California on roads that are parallel to the freeways that have fewer cars on them because it costs money to use them. So you begin to find systems that are not unlike airplanes where you have three classes of seats, the terrible, torturous ones with the children and the peacocks, and the ones that are business people and they're reasonable, and then the ones that are really comfortable and silly. You begin to see that. You'll begin to see that on the highways. You'll find that there are highways for the richer people and highways for the poorer people. You'll see that with almost everything. Meanwhile, the most practical kind of rapid transit, which is rail, is being ignored in the United States, not being ignored in Europe, not being ignored in Asia. In fact, the Chinese are building the Grand Silk Roads, the grand highways that go to Europe and other parts of Asia. They're doing the same thing in Africa and in South America. We, meanwhile, are entrenching and becoming smaller and more self-contained, even as our power and our threatening becomes greater. This is a real situation. Most people are not prepared to deal with it and not prepared to think about it. But it's real, and it's happening. And, you know, when a disaster occurs like this petrochemical oil spill thing that's going to knock out a large part of the fishing industry in the South China Sea. When that happens, well, we just shrug, we worry, but we cannot do anything about it. And that is the pattern that we are all dealing with. We all feel, at least I feel, very much helpless in the face of the enormity of the things that are going on and the stupidity of the people in power. I did not feel that it was always the case that things would get so much worse. But I'm beginning to feel that that really is the inevitable outcome of the situation. So I would like to hear from you folks. And I would wish that I could get a lot of positive impulses on the air. I would like to hear that I'm just too dark. You know, I feel like Leonard Cohen's last record. Is it dark enough for you? Well, you want to? Can I give you more darkness? Well, let's hear for the light. Let's hear for the bright, the possible, and maybe you can persuade me to take it easy and be happy. Don't worry, be happy, as Baba whatever the hell said. All right, 2318187. Okay, hi Nina, you're the last grand candidate.
Hi there. I'm so sorry. I have nothing to say on the topic you were just talking
about.
Okay, no. But I did want to play devil's advocate for just a moment on the cell phone subject.
Sure.
I happen to be one of the only people that I know, possibly the only person I know, that lives in a home without internet connection. By design, we do not want our children growing up addicted to internet and cell phones and the like.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there are lots of things that one has to take care of online. There are certain bills that can be paid easier online and just certain day-to-day functions that need to happen. And I feel the glares on me when I take my young son into town and I have to spend 5-10 minutes online connected at some Starbucks or something to pay bills and just to take care of things that really need to be taken care of. And my son is talking to me. And I see people looking at me like I should be paying more attention to him. And I just want to blurt out really loud, I don't have internet at home. That I actually need 5 minutes to take care of things. So there are people out there that are not ignoring their children. They just need like 5-10 minutes in public to take care of stuff.
I appreciate your point. You know, we've run out of time, and I'm glad you made this your last call, our last call. Anyway, we'll see everybody next week, and we'll be more gloomy, I promise.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming.
KABU is building a city of media makers. We believe that strong, resilient communities know how to make their own media. For 50 years, KABU has trained thousands of people how to make radio. And we know that, with our expertise and your support, we can keep the city activated and aware through radio we make together. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Look us up. Search for Help KABU Build a City of Media Makers. And thank you for your support of KABU.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
When radio got taken over by advertising, people in Portland decided to do it themselves, and in 1968, they created a space that was free from advertisers and independent from corporate or mainstream media interests, KABU Community Radio. This is the very essence of DIY culture. KABU was here in the 70s as people were taking back music spaces, in the 80s when artists were taking back music distribution, and in the 90s supporting zine and small press revolutions and all of the movements of self-expression. Help us build a city of artistic media makers. Long live DIY radio and join us on Kickstarter today. Look us up. Search for Help KABU Build a City of Media Makers, and thank you for your support of KABU.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland.